everybody. Welcome to Reality Rehap Ups for episode 5 of season 25 of The Amazing Race. I'm Jessica Leese, and we have a really awesome pair of guests for you tonight, and I'm very excited to be talking to them. Please welcome to the podcast two-time racers, the winners of season 24, and the first parent-child team to win the U.S. version of The Amazing Race, Dave and Connor O'Leary. Hello, guys.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys this evening?
Doing well.
So
happy to be here.
First off, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's a really exciting time, I can imagine.
Yeah. Only it was really exciting.
So the thing I'm most interested in finding out, and we have a ton of questions. We got a bunch of questions from people off of our patrons Facebook group, and I asked people on Twitter, but I'm really interested in, like, how did it feel to get that second chance? Because that's something that must have come out of nowhere for you guys, having gone out in such a kind of a terrible way, and then to get the call to go back. Like, how did that feel?
Yeah, it was to get that call was totally unexpected, but it was absolutely awesome. I mean, we both really didn't expect it at all.
And they called us both separately. I think they called me first and started asking me about my Achilles. How are you doing? Have you recovered? What's your doctor saying? And the questions got a little bit more specific and then said, do you have any idea where this is going? And I said, yeah, we're in. And
so it wasn't just a social call.
They explained they were thinking of the All-Stars and that we might be a possibility to go again.
Oh, a possibility. Like, that wasn't, like, you weren't the first.
They didn't, you know, they really play it coy. They don't want you to, I guess they don't want to say you're in until they really know you're in.
Yeah, but I can imagine it was probably, you were not one of the names at the bottom of the list.
Who knows? We're just glad we got to go back.
Yeah, that must have been really a fantastic opportunity. Now, what I don't know, and I've talked to you guys before, and Dave and I actually got to hang out before Tarkon 22. It was really fun.
That was a lot of fun.
But the thing I never found out is, how did this all start for you? Like, when did you get the idea to apply for The Amazing Race? Which one of you is the bigger fan?
I was the brainchild behind applying.
The child is right.
I'd watched the show from a pretty young age. And I remember watching one Sunday and there was a daughter team on there. What were their names? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was
Ron
and Christina.
Oh, yeah.
Ron and Christina. And they were racing and they were, you know, arguing. And I was like, man, Dad and I would kill it at that. And, you know, fast forward 6 or 7 years. And I was like, you know what? What's the worst that can happen? Let's apply. We applied and we got a call back.
Yeah, and it's kind of one of those situations, Jessica, where Connor came to me and said, hey, Dad, we should be on The Amazing Race. And I kind of nodded my head and said, sure, Connor, thinking it would never go anywhere. And then about a month later, he said, hey, Dad, we need to make our video. And I said, our video for what? And he said, for The Amazing Race. And he had arranged for one of his friends to come over. And we made what I'm sure is the worst application video ever.
Well, that
we
can't
just
be
went
true.
In our garage and sat on stools and no rehearsal, no pre-planning at all.
Well, they must have seen something in you.
We're still wondering what it was.
Yeah, you know, 2 seasons and $1 million later, you're still wondering. Yeah, but that first season obviously went pretty badly. As far as I know, Dave, you're the only person that ever had to quit The American Amazing Race for medical reasons.
Yeah,
isn't that a legacy you want to have?
The amazing thing is you ended up continuing to run the race for 2 additional legs and scored first place in both of those legs. Now, I know that it was doctor's orders that you had to go when you went because you had to have surgery within a certain window. But were you trying to draw that out as long as possible?
You know, the problem is we would like to have gone another leg, and we would love to have gone to Botswana just to see it, if nothing else. And who knows whether or not we could have made it through the leg in Vietnam. but we certainly could have tried. And the thing is, you just don't know how long the legs are. So we would love to have drawn it out a little bit further, but we knew we had this window. And so at one point we just said, yeah, we better call it quits and get home and have surgery within the time frame I need to have it done, which is certainly more important than continuing on the race.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So here's a hypothetical for you. You're on the crutches, but you don't have to be back within any certain time to get the surgery. Would you have kept going?
Absolutely.
I would have made him keep going.
Yeah, I mean, the crutches were not that much of a handicap for us.
Yeah, you seem to be flying through.
At least as far as we made it. They, you know, they may have become a handicap further on, but we were able to adapt pretty well. I mean, Connor carried the load, and I was able to move around okay on crutches. So it wasn't that big of a handicap, but and if we could have stayed, we certainly would have.
Yeah. So what were the months after that like for you? Like, did you come away? Like, how did you feel? Were you very disappointed coming out of it?
When we flew home from Vietnam, I was pretty bummed. I thought, man, this once in a lifetime opportunity, and it was cut short by something that, you know, was out of our control, really, just kind of a stroke of bad luck. So it was super disappointing. But, you know, at the end of the day, we just thought, well, this happened, so there's nothing we can do about it. Let's just move on.
And even when it happened, we said, you know, let's stay for a while if we can. And, you know, our goal going in was to have fun. And even through rupturing the Achilles and fortunately the next couple of legs, we still had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it certainly looked like it. Like, I think one of the most enduring images of that season is you flying through the airport on your crutches.
I looked back when we got to New Zealand, I looked back and he had some guy sitting next to him on the plane, like duct taping his crutches to his arms so he could go faster.
Oh, that's really amazing. And so when you were watching it back, once the season went to air, like, what did you see in this season after you guys were out what did you regret the most that you didn't get to do? Was Botswana it, or?
That was, for me, that's one country I've never been to and I really want to go to. So that was definitely a bummer for me. When I saw that they went to Botswana, I was pretty crushed.
I think Botswana, what they did in Switzerland was pretty amazing and looked a lot of fun. Unfortunately, we got to go to Switzerland again, but you know, it's the whole race. It's just the opportunity to do all those challenges. I'm not sure how well we would have done on the cheese challenge with crutches. may have been a little bit of a struggle, but who knows?
I'm trying to imagine you ice climbing on the crutches, actually.
Yeah, that would have been a little problem.
Yeah, that'd be a little tough. So you go out in eighth place, and then they call you to come back. And you were back last season. What were the biggest differences the second time around, apart from having four healthy legs to run on?
I think the biggest thing for us was that it was, obviously it was an All-Stars, and so all these teams had raced previously. Some teams, this was their third time, and so we really were, you know, the least experienced of all those teams virtually. You know,
with the exception of John and Jessica, we had fewer legs than anybody.
So we felt like we were going in with a little bit of a disadvantage, you know, and not quite as much experience as those other teams.
And we, you know, it is. Connor was actually more nervous going back the second time. I was a lot more comfortable going back the second time because I felt like we knew at least what to expect. And I think we prepared a little bit smarter the second time than we did the first time, because you don't know before you've been there what to pack. And you know, and we still made stupid mistakes. I mean, you think being on the race once, you'd learn to read your clue.
Everyone makes that mistake. I don't know anybody that hasn't.
No, it's
a matter of minimizing the mistakes, because everybody does make them. That's true.
Yeah, that's very true. And we had a question related to that in our Facebook group. Doreen Wolfgram wanted to know if there's anything special you packed the second time that you didn't have the first time out. And she remembers you saying, don't pack beef jerky or it'll get confiscated.
that was funny. We're in Tahiti and we're there for a long time at that airport. And Chuck opens his backpack and has beef sticks and beef jerky. I bet he had 20 pounds of this stuff. And then we go to New Zealand, and in customs they take it all. And I felt bad for the guy. He shared some with us, so nice of him. But I think packing wise, I packed a little bit different. I actually took a pad to sleep on when we knew we'd be sleeping on the floor or out on sidewalks. And for me, it was great. It was a little tiny compact pad that I could blow up and. A lot more comfortable than trying to sleep on cement or on cardboard.
And I think if we packed any different, we packed less for the most part. We took less clothes. I mean, we just took basically two sets of t-shirts and one pair of pants, and I just did wash every night in the sink.
Well, what else are you going to do during the pit stop, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, heaven forbid you want to sleep.
Yeah. So what was the most useless thing on the first time out?
That we packed?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The most useless thing that we packed. Well, I'll tell you that we packed Clif Bars. They weren't useless. We used them, but we made the mistake. We're not coffee drinkers. We typically don't drink caffeine. And so we thought we're going to need some extra juice on the race. And so we bought caffeinated Clif Bars. It was the worst thing ever. I mean, you'd eat one and you'd start to shake. I'd rather be hungry. So maybe we that was probably, I won't say it was the most useless, but it was the stupidest thing we probably packed.
Yeah, you got to go for the chocolate peanut crunch. Like, that's a far better flavor.
Well,
yeah.
We bought all the same flavor.
So there was
no variety at all.
Oh, no, that's a rookie mistake, man.
Rookie mistake. You got that right.
Now, so how much did you guys feel a lot of pressure to succeed after your first race ended the way it did? Or were you just excited to be out there again to prove yourselves?
I don't think there was a ton of pressure on each of us. We just wanted to go out, have a good time. And, our first goal was not to be the first two teams eliminated. And then after that, we wanted to make the top three. So we didn't have, these huge ambitions of coming out and just stomping the competition, that's for sure.
But you did it anyway.
I don't know that we stomped anyone. There were some great teams and we got some good breaks.
Yeah, it is true that I think anybody that's ever won the show has had to be lucky once or twice.
There is more luck on that thing than... Yeah, that's a huge factor. You got to be lucky.
But you do have to try and avoid making the stupid mistakes, several of which we made. Fortunately, we didn't make as... other people made them too. And that we were lucky that other people made the same kind of mistakes we did.
Yeah, and bigger.
Yeah. In some cases, yeah.
So I was actually... About halfway through the season, I was shocked. Like, how are these the same guys that I saw in season 22? And I've eaten a meal with Dave O'Leary. These guys are intense. They're kind of ruthless. was that a strategy, or is this just a side of you we didn't have a chance to see in season 22?
Well, I think, we're both competitive. We're both extremely competitive. And, the first season we were on on the race, we knew we were going out. We knew we didn't really have a chance for the overall. And so there was really no pressure or stress. And coming back that second time, we thought, man, we have a chance. And, both being competitive, we wanted to do as well as we could. So I think that may have come out a little bit as intensity, I guess.
Well, and the further you make it, it's a combination of things. Every time someone gets eliminated, you say, hey, you know, it's a 1 in 10 chance now of winning $1 million, or it's a 1 in 7 chance of winning $1 million. And you get more tired, you know, you get more tired, more hungry, more frustrated with each other and maybe even with the other teams. And so they do a great job of kind of enhancing that. And as Connor said, we're pretty competitive, and the closer it got to, wow, we could actually, we might win this thing. Although I don't know that I ever believed we would win it until I was flying through the air on that last jump.
That shocks me. That is absolutely, because you guys were so collected the whole time.
We had our moments. We had our moments.
I mean, you would occasionally see you guys kind of get this intense sort of, you know, this intense sort of mask on your face, but I never saw you guys melt down the way that most teams have at least one really good moment. Like, did those moments happen and we just didn't see them?
Or? I don't think we really ever had a crazy meltdown like you see some teams have. We did our best to kind of keep our composure, and because that's really what happens when teams melt down, everything starts going wrong for them. You know, they freak out and then one thing after the next. So we kind of kept that in our mind. You know, if we do have that meltdown, we got to just regain our composure as fast as possible, because that's when things really start going wrong.
And in most of the challenges or the, you know, if we kind of got on one another's nerves, it was related to directions. You know, it was Connor wanting to go one way, me wanting to go another way, and just trying to find a compromise and figure out what the best choice was. And fortunately, we didn't have a lot of those.
Mm. Well, who's better at directions? Like, overall, who was right more often?
I'll tell you, my dad, like, I was humbled. He's more right on the directions. I'll give it to him. I may have him for the challenges, but we couldn't have done without the directions.
Yeah, well, I'm curious, how do you guys feel about your edit as compared to the first time you were out? Because it seemed like it was, I mean, you guys came off as a very different sort of team, and mm-hmm. especially with having conflicts with other teams, because the first time out, it was like, these guys are the nicest guys in the world. They're never going to clash with anybody. And then you get out there and I don't want to say that Brenchel kind of courts this, but they have had that kind of clash with a team every single time they've been out. And I wondered, like, do you guys think it was overplayed by the editing, or how did that end up panning out?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, you give them all of the footage, you know, it's not like they're, you know, obviously they can edit however they want and choose and pick whatever they want, but you have to give it to them. And we definitely had, you know, those moments looking back where, you know, watching them, like, wow, we are idiots, you know. But again,
and we really overreacted to the U-turn. I mean, it was a stupid thing to get so bent out of shape about.
But, you know, at the same
time, that was a long run back to Bagnor Reggio.
At the same time, you know, it's, yeah, when you have that many differences with the team, it's hard to kind of get along all the time. You know, we definitely, and I think that they definitely chose us and the Brenchels to kind of have that conflict, but I think a lot of teams had that conflict with them. They just kind of chose to show us interacting with them a little bit more. But yeah, at the end of the day, no, I wasn't too displeased with the edit at all. I think they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I mean, they can only put on what you actually say. There were a few things we, you know, you kind of say things and you forget the cameras are rolling. And you see it on TV and you say, did I really say that? So that was, there were a couple of those moments.
Yeah, it's funny. I was reading some exit interviews with the team that was eliminated on Friday night, and they said pretty much the exact same thing. They had this big clash in the episode, and they were looking back at it and saying, we overreacted so much, we would have done it completely differently if we'd had our heads about us.
Yeah. And it all happens so fast. You know, it's like you're stressed. I mean, there's a lot of factors that kind of play into the kind of.
And like I said, you know, we're where we probably overreacted the most was in Bagnell Reggio. And, you know, we said some things not even thinking about the cameras will land. I mean, it's me and Connor together, and we're running down the hill and talking to each other. And sometimes you forget that you have a mic on, and, you know, even if the cameraman's 20 feet away, you're running as fast as you can, they get it.
Yeah, my sense of it is they like it when you forget there's a camera on.
Oh, they love it. They love it. They want that drama.
Yeah, we spoke to Phil last week, and he said that his favorite teams are always the ones that don't have any sense of how the show is edited and how they're supposed to be on camera, because it's a lot more natural. And I think there are not as many regular people teams in recent years, and especially on an all-star season, there's even fewer regular people teams.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, we are nothing but regular people. I mean, we're nothing special. We're so lucky to even be there.
And yet you completely crushed everybody else through most of it.
Yeah, you say that, but we really didn't. I mean, we had some good lights.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, we made some right choices. Honestly, in Switzerland, the Cowboys of the Afghanimals should have won. Mm-hmm. They just made the wrong choice. They ran the wrong direction.
Yeah, it looked really close, but you can never tell.
No, it was so close. I mean, we'd made a stupid mistake, got off and at the top of the gondola, which the clue said, go to the top of the gondola. But it also said at 10,000 feet. So we jump off and are looking for Phil and missed the first tram, which would have taken us to the top, and we would have won anyway. But by the time we realized we had to keep going up, the Afghanimals and the Cowboys caught up. And at that point, we knew we were sunk.
Yeah, and ended up being very much a foot race, that's the best television. So
totally.
Was there ever a moment where you felt like your future on the race was in doubt? Like, was there ever a big stumbling block?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest that jumps out to me was in London. We struggled with directions. I mean, we left the airport and immediately it took us an hour in the wrong direction.
We were the first team to get there, and we had a 2-hour advantage over everybody else, and we made a wrong turn.
2 hours?
Well, I don't know. We had an advantage. We got there a little sooner than the other teams, and we made a wrong turn, and it took us the wrong direction, and then we had to basically fight our way back through rush hour traffic, and by that time, all the other teams had caught up, and we were kind of in the tail end. And it was frustrating. It was a long drive.
Yeah. What tips would you have for someone who needs to keep their head in a situation like that? Like, how did you guys cope?
You just have to just step back, stop, and just take, literally, if you have to take 5 minutes just to cool down, calm down, do it, because it's going to save you time in the long run. I mean, that was one part problem I had. My dad was really good with it, but I would just want to go, go, go. I don't care if somebody told us the wrong direction. We were going that way. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to always stop and ask somebody else.
Mm-hmm. But Dave, you seemed like you kept up pretty well, though. Like,
you know, I heard Brendan call me an old slow guy. and compared to everybody else, I am. But I'm not that old and that slow.
Oh, that's true. I mean, you still are the oldest person ever to win the Amazing Race. So you have that.
I do have that.
But I think you're pretty young for your age.
Well, that's nice of you to say.
You can hang.
I try. Who knows how long that'll last, but I'm going to do it as long as I can.
Okay. So if they ask you again, are you going to go back?
Absolutely.
Yeah. The chances of that ever happening are slim to none. And you know, they interviewed us right after we finished in Vegas, and I said, I'd never do this again. I mean, I was I was so tired and so frustrated, and then you kind of step back and you see it and you say, wow, what an opportunity to have done that and to have been able to do it with Connor. It was so much fun. We were watching this season, and it's a little depressing that we're not there.
Yeah. Well, how do you like the season so far? Like, apart from wishing you were on it, you got any favorites you're rooting for? Any tasks that you wish you'd be doing?
I'm definitely, you know, rooting for the Soul Surfer team. I think they're great and they're super strong, super competitive. I think they'll go a long way.
You know, at the beginning, I was kind of rooting for the firefighters and thought they seemed like good guys. And unfortunately, they made some stupid mistakes like we've all made. And so they're gone at this time. I certainly like the Soul Surfers. I think the cyclists are a
naturally.
They're a very competitive team. And you know, it's been fun to see some of the challenges. You know, we never got to do a cycle challenge in either season.
And they got two of them.
They've had two of them. And, you know, you say, gee, why didn't we get to do something like that?
They always do. Like, every season I watch, they do something on bike, except for those seasons we've been on.
Well, you know, maybe it's for the best, because it's something that we've been talking about when we were covering Amazing Race Canada this summer. It came up a lot because they had Olympic hockey players that failed a hockey task. And we were kind of saying it's kind of ironic if you get on the show and they give you something that you do for a living. And
yeah. Well, it's kind of like when the Cowboys got on and they had to do roping.
Exactly.
You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, come on. What a challenge.
And you think, well, you know, he does this all the time. He's going to get through it. And it, more often than not, even if it's something that you do all the time, it's...
You can screw up.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe it's for the best. You kind of were outside your comfort zone.
Yeah.
So I was really curious. One thing that was kind of the hallmark of last season was the kind of polarizing. Like, you had a faction that was you guys and Jen and Caroline and sometimes the Afghanimals. And then on the other side, you had Brendan and Rachel. And then you had a bunch of people that were fairly neutral about the whole thing. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the role that alliances play in the Amazing Race, because I think it's a lot less apparent than, say, Survivor, where that's the whole game.
Yeah, I think, you know, the alliance we were in, I don't think it necessarily hurt us, but at the same time, I don't think it helped us very much either. You know, in hindsight, I think looking back,
I think the Afghanimals, who were part of that accidental alliance, did exactly the right thing. You turned them into Cowboys. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were the strongest team. They were, you know, it was far smarter to you turn them than it would have been Brendan and Rachel. And good for us. I mean, I think it was probably good for us.
Yeah, I mean, at least you guys didn't need another U-turn.
Yeah.
No. And you know, I don't know that we needed to be competing against the Cowboys in the finale if we were to make it that far. So
they very nearly won their first season out. So.
Oh, yeah. They're strong.
Talk about competitive.
I would have been gunning for them, too.
Yeah, no, they're a real competitive team.
And I mean... They're really honest guys, but they hold their cards close to their chest. I mean, they
run their own race.
They're competitive. So, you know, yeah, I was glad to see them gone, but at the same time, you know, they were good guys, so it was disappointing.
Yeah, well, it's always everyone has to go sometime.
Exactly.
For like,
yeah.
Three teams.
We'd rather have it them than us. So.
Yeah, so it was pretty clear that racing a second time, you learn a lot. You've learned a lot of things that you can bring with you, but it doesn't seem like racing a third time necessarily gives you a huge unfair advantage.
You know, I guess it doesn't, because all those teams that raced three times, you know,
they all made mistakes.
Didn't pull it off.
And you know, some pretty big mistakes. I mean, I felt bad when Margie and Luke went out. And you know, I'm still not sure exactly what happened to them, but, you know, it seemed like they should have just continued to try and find the travel agency and get that resolved before they headed out to the airport.
Yeah, I've talked to Luke a little bit about this, and I've heard some stories. Like, there was a guy from the internet who was actually in the airport trying to help them find a flight. And I think more than anything, that was just luck.
Yeah, I think
I think it probably was. And, you know, like we talked about, there's so much luck involved. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some of those teams that had raced three times caught some really bad luck. And we just caught a little more good luck than those other teams.
Now, how surprised were you to find three-time teams in your cast? Like,
I was so surprised. when those teams showed up, I was like, this is stupid. This is unfair. Like, you know, what's going on here? But all those teams they brought back, obviously, people loved, and that's probably why they did it, and they were good competition. And all those teams they brought back were awesome. They were really cool teams. So I was glad to see them there.
And it's not that we didn't like Brendan and Rachel. We probably got along with them the least, but we really got along well with everybody else. And it was a really a fun race.
Yeah, it looked like you guys were having a blast. And was there anybody you were expecting to see at the starting line that you didn't, or anybody that you guessed correctly would be at the starting line?
I thought we were going to see the snowboarders, Andy and Tommy. And I've met them, and they were cool dudes. And I would have loved to see them there, but they were also really strong. So I was kind of stoked they weren't there. But I'm trying to think.
I thought we might see, you know, you look back over the number of seasons between the prior All-Star, and I thought we might see Claire, and I can't think of her, Brooke and Claire.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is the all-time most famous moment maybe of the Amazing Race.
Yeah.
When she launches that melon into her head. And so, you know, you thought maybe they would come back and
I guess I was super surprised as well that there was four teams from our season.
Yeah, me too.
I thought that was surprising. So,
yeah, that's half your cast, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's, you know, we're racing a year later against kind of the same block of teams.
And was that kind of what kind of threw you guys in with Jen and Caroline, because you guys had known each other before?
Yeah, I think it helped. You know, we knew Caroline and Jen, and, you know, they are super nice. They were super nice girls that were pretty honest. And
yeah, we got along with them on the first season. We didn't race with them that much. I think we were in Bali with them at the same challenge. And but they were good people, and so that probably contributed a lot to just being in that alliance. And, you know, you kind of associate with the people you're racing with at that time. And a lot of the teams you don't see very much.
Yeah. It's just whoever's kind of going at your speed.
Yeah,
that's right.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, that makes some sense. So are you still in touch with everybody from your season, or who have you talked to the most?
Yeah. You know, we came in contact with, most of the teams here and there. You know, the Globetrotters had a game out in Salt Lake, and so they got the whole family tickets to that. So that was really fun. You know, I text the Afghanimals and Caroline again every once in a while. So yeah, we keep in contact with a few of the teams.
That's cool. So, what did you guys learn about each other over the course of the race? And this kind of feeds into some of the things I want to talk about the current season, but how did your relationship change?
Go ahead.
You know, I always had a lot of confidence in Connor's abilities to do almost anything. And I guess I learned he can't kick soccer balls. No, I'm just joking. I mean,
I can sew a shirt, though.
He can sew a shirt, which was impressive. And he can recite Welsh poetry, which was even more impressive. I think I gained a lot of confidence and always have had a lot of confidence in Connor's abilities, but even more so after the race, and recognize that he's not a kid anymore. He's an adult and he makes wise choices, and I could not have had a better teammate. I mean, there's no one I would rather have raced with than him.
Yeah, I mean, ditto to that. I mean, I couldn't have had a better partner either. My dad, I knew going in that the directions were dialed. You know, my dad can hustle any directions anywhere, make anybody take way less than the cab ride's worth. So I knew that that wouldn't be an issue. And you know, I guess I kind of learned that if you want to be a successful team like we did, there was some compromise that needed to be there. And we both are super stubborn. And so coming back the second time, you know, I think we tried to give each other a little leeway and say, okay, if that's what you think, great, let's go with it. Instead of us each thinking we're always right.
Yeah, that's something I think I've noticed just about every parent-child team that's ever been on the show really struggles with that. And I feel like maybe that's one of the reasons they don't often make it as far as you guys do. There's kind of a power imbalance that's almost kind of intrinsic to the parent-child bond.
Absolutely.
No question about it.
I think we're seeing that this season with the...
Oh, yeah.
You know, big time. So that was crazy. Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there were times when I think we demonstrated the role of a parent and child. And, you know, on the calligraphy challenge, I mean, I knew Connor could do it better than I could because I've seen my handwriting. and so, you know, I guess I probably exercised a little undue parental authority telling him he was going to do it. And he was gracious enough to say, okay, I'll do it.
Well, that was something that people were asking about because everybody's been under the impression that the roadblock rule is such that you each have to do a certain number. And once you get towards the end, you often see instructions at the bottom of the clue that says these people must do this roadblock. That didn't happen on your season. Do you know why?
Well, it didn't because, you know, there is a rule that you have to do so many roadblocks each. And up until a certain leg, and I can't even remember what
leg it was. The 10th leg.
And we watched that really closely.
And we did exactly what the rule prescribed.
Yeah, we got a lot of people complaining, Connor did, you know. And at the end of the day, we just played it smarter than everybody else.
The other teams had the same opportunity to do what we did. And either they didn't understand the rules or they just didn't take advantage of it.
Or maybe they thought that, you know, the roadblocks just suited either team member a little bit better, but... You know, we picked and choose what roadblocks and who did what.
And we went into it with the objective that I would do more of the, I guess you'd call them the mental challenges. Connor would do the physical challenges. And we were wrong on some of those challenges, like Stream in the Sky. We really thought that was going to be a physical challenge, or I would have done that and was ready to do it. We thought it was going to be kayaking or canoeing on that aqueduct. And because the clue said, who wants to get high water marks? And we thought, oh, this is going to be something physically, you know, physical for sure. And Connor said, okay, I'm going to do it. And then we were just dead wrong.
Yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag. It seems like sometimes you can kind of see what's going on. And sometimes you're like
sometimes
50 feet away and you can't.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we misjudged that one.
Yeah,
that
was for sure. They do a great job at that sometimes. You know, you just never know.
Yeah. That's really interesting that, and I imagine they, if you guys had been doing the roadblock balance wrong, they would have told you right away.
They would have had, like you said, they would have said, Connor has to do this challenge.
Yeah, going into the 10th leg, I think we were equal. And you know, I can't remember the specific rule, but we really followed it and said, okay, you know, at this point,
we're in the clear
and either one of us can do the roadblock. And you know, the last roadblock was such that if I had done the David Copperfield, Connor would have had to jump out of the helicopter. He did the David Copperfield, so I had to jump out of the helicopter.
It didn't look like either one of those, like either one of you could have done either one of those tasks, it seemed like.
Yeah, we could have. And I'm just glad my dad spotted that sign.
How hard was that to spot? Because you really couldn't tell from the...
It was hard. It was hard. And it was stressful because, you know, if you don't get it, you have to circle around and you're going to be in second or third place at that point. And there's a lot of lights on the Las Vegas Strip.
Yeah.
And you know, what I first saw, I didn't see anything that said Amazing Race. I just saw a red and yellow banner mm-hmm. that flashed down that said Las Vegas Motor Speedway. So I was just guessing until, you know, a minute later, after I'd said Las Vegas Motor Speedway, I saw that the Amazing Race finale sign came up on that sign. And so I knew at that point I was right.
Do you think they would have let you go to the wrong place?
I don't know.
I'm glad we didn't find out.
No, yeah. Me too.
I'm going to go to, I think I have to go to Reno now. I'm just going to jump out here. I'm good.
You know, if there's anyone down there, we'll...
We had a question related to the Houdini task. Megan Ainsworth asked on Twitter, I want to know if Dave was legitimately worried about Connor in the Houdini task, or if was there a little bit of acting going on?
I'm not an actor. And so for me, it was, you know, I handed Connor the keys in that box. I had his hand come out. I was talking to him. I handed him the keys. I went back and looked at this monitor and watched him in the box where I'd handed him the keys. And so when they lit it on fire and lifted it up, I was, you know, genuinely a little concerned. I mean, I knew that this was an illusion. And so in the back of my mind, I knew that, you know, it would be like them lighting your husband on fire and lifting him up and saying, huh. Yeah, you know, I'm sure it's going to be okay, but there's always that, you know, little bit of doubt in the back of your mind. And then they drop the box. And David Copperfield is saying, you got to call the fire department. And so, I mean, in the back of my mind, I think I was pretty sure he was okay. But when I said, where is he? That was very genuine. I really didn't have any idea where he was.
Yeah, it sounded a bit more genuine than maybe the other two teams.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe some of them wanted their teammate to burn up. I don't know.
I'm not going to name any names. Yeah, it would be kind of a terrible thing to send you on this, you know, your second amazing race and like, oh, by the way, at the end, we're going to set you on fire.
Yeah, well, you know, I afterwards, I thought, what would I have told his mother?
That would have been hard to explain.
Yeah, it's a little easier to explain the Achilles tendon.
Yes. I mean, not only are we not coming home with $1 million, oh yeah, our son got burned up.
But we don't have to pay for funeral expenses because he's cremated.
Oh man, that's dark, man. All right, so one thing I noticed when I was watching last season, it felt like they were kind of underneath you guys, they were kind of tinkering around at the formula and seeing what they could get away with as far as like putting you on pre-booked flights, for example, or making you do two legs in every destination. Is that something you guys felt as it was going on?
I guess I was definitely a little surprised with the two legs in almost every destination because I had never seen that before. So every time we opened up a clue and we were staying in that country, I was a little bit surprised. But yeah.
And you know, there were a number of pre-booked flights, but there were still open flights as well. I mean, it wasn't as if every flight was pre-booked, but in some locations it was. And I don't know, Jessica, how much of that may have been as a result of them having to change things on the fly and saying, okay, you're here for another leg because something happened somewhere else. And so in order to keep production on schedule, we need you to be on these flights. I don't know how much of that may have been involved, but you know, it was, you know, I look at, for example, flying from Rome to Seville, or not Rome. Where did we take the train to? Man, I'm losing it.
I don't even know.
Zurich. We flew from Zurich.
Sure.
Zurich to Seville. And, you know, that we made a flight that I don't think anyone expected us to make. And the Afghan animals made the same flight. And so, you know, there were still plenty of room to do something other than what they thought you were going to do.
Well, it's good. You got to keep them on their toes.
Exactly.
Yeah. And how do you think it changes your strategy if you know that you're not going to be doing as much of the travel in the middle?
Well, I mean, it takes a lot of stress.
I don't know. You can know that, though. We had no idea until we'd open a clue that we didn't know we were staying two nights in Sri Lanka. That was a real surprise to us.
I mean, yeah, but when you say, oh, okay, there's these flights, and, you know, if you want to be on the first flight, you need to be one of the first three teams, whatever. It definitely was a little bit less pressure on us, I feel like, because that is a stressful part of it, is getting the earliest flight, because you're always second guessing, oh man, is there an earlier flight? Who got on what flight? So, yeah.
Okay. Well, we got a lot of questions, of course, from our social media audience. And one of the first things I have to say is one of our producers and kind of she was head of interns for a while, and she does a lot of technical behind the scenes stuff, is our friend Jessica Frey, who is the world's number one biggest Connor fan. And, and she's been waiting and waiting, I think, for an entire year to get you guys on the show. And
awesome.
I put out the call for questions, and her response was, I can't even right now. I have to think of something good to ask Connor, but if not, just tell him I'm his biggest fan. So,
well, thanks, Jessica.
She wanted to make that known, and she will be very excited to get the shout out.
Can't wait.
Yep. So Mark Solero wants to know if you could take Phil in a biking competition.
Ooh, I don't know, but I'd love to try. I'd love to get on a ride with Phil. That is for sure. He's done some awesome rides. I think he, you know, did that crazy France ride. But no, I'd love to get out with a ride.
With not Phil. A prayer I could.
Michael Harmstone wants to know, did you feel vindicated being one of the most dominant pairings ever, especially given Dave's age?
Yeah, it felt good, you know, to...
Well, I think we felt vindicated in catching a fish in Sri Lanka versus... New Zealand, where I was fishing with my helmet on. There were certainly some moments we were really felt like, wow, we've been able to come back and do more than we expected to do.
Yeah. Harry Schaefer wants to know if you've taken any of the trips you won yet. And I know the answer to that, but why don't you go ahead and tell everybody?
I have.
I know you have.
I just came back from a month in Europe, and I took the Budapest trip as part of that, and did a cycling trip while I was there, and traveled through Croatia and Italy, and had the time of my life. My wife went with me, so this was a non-Connor trip, and so he'll get to take one of the next ones. But we're looking forward to Thailand and St. Croix and Fiji, and
just got to find time for all those.
Yeah, that's a little bit rough.
Yeah.
And did you keep the Mustangs?
So far, I mean, we're going to order them next week, and should have them in a month or so.
They're 2015s, and so the order process has been really delayed. In fact, it wasn't until this week that I can actually place an order for a convertible. And that's what I'm getting, and I am keeping it.
Awesome.
No question about awesome. It. I'm going to get the baddest Mustang I can get.
I think you earned it.
Well, thanks.
we got another one for you, Connor. But
perfect.
Angela C. wants to know, would you ever consider going on Survivor Blood versus Water 3? Also, how does Connor stay so cute?
I like all those questions. Survivor, I don't know if I could do it. It might be a little too cutthroat for me. And how I stay so cute, it's tough. It's a lot of printing. Just kidding.
It's not just genetics.
I think he does brush his teeth.
Yeah, that's about the extent of it.
All right, take note, everybody out there that's trying to be cute, make sure you brush your teeth.
Brush your teeth.
Yeah. So, Michael Rivera wants to know, Would you like to raise awareness for any particular cancer-related charities or research institutions? Like, are there any that you support or do work for?
That's an awesome question. Great question. Go ahead.
Well, you know, we have a local cancer institute called Huntsman Cancer Institute, and that's where Connor received his chemotherapy. And so we have done charity rides with them. We've raised money for them in the past. We donate to them. And also the Livestrong Foundation was very instrumental when Connor was diagnosed in helping with his cancer. And actually Lance Armstrong personally was very helpful with Connor's cancer and putting us in contact with his personal doctor, who was really credited with curing testicular cancer. And he was incredibly helpful, took over Connor's case. So we certainly support the Livestrong Foundation. And Connor's had a recent experience with MD Anderson.
Yeah. So yeah,
he actually spoke at their survivors conference a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great.
I'd never heard the Lance Armstrong thing either. That's kind of a cool connection.
It was a great thing. He didn't know us from Adam, and just because Connor was a cyclist and knew some of the same people, he reached out to us.
Wow. All right. So, what are you guys up to now? What's going on in your life apart from getting to go to Europe for a month? And
yeah, I know, a rough life, right? I'm just finishing up school. This is my last semester at the University of Utah. And so be graduated in another month here, month and a half. And then who knows? I have absolutely no idea.
Neither do I. All I know is as soon as he graduates, I got a raise because I don't have to pay for any more tuition. So
you have $1 million. Come on, man. Is tuition really a concern?
Oh yeah,
well, it's a state school. Come on, you're in state tuition.
It is a state school, thank you. But I've got 5 kids, and he's my fifth one that I've put through college. So. You know, one of my daughters said to me, "Dad, you know, you spent a lot of money putting us through college." And I said, "Yeah, if I didn't have you guys, I'd have a jet."
Well, at least now you're getting the convertible.
That's right.
Exactly. That's almost as good, right?
So do you guys do the social media at all? Like, where can the fans find you?
I'm on Twitter. That's about the only social media I have. And my handle's at COLeary00. I should be better with and get an Instagram and all that, but just haven't got around to it.
Who's got time? You got college to finish.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm not much of a social media guy, but I do have it. I have Facebook and Twitter, and I don't know what my handle is. I think it's at
@DOLearySLC.
At @DOLearySLC.
Well, I'm glad someone's on top of that.
Yeah, I've got a handle for him.
Well, I want to thank you guys so much for doing this interview. I've been waiting for this for like Absolutely. Over a year now.
Oh, well, you. This has been so fun. You made it so fun.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Oh, good, good. I'm
one of the better interviews we've had, so thank you.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. You guys are welcome back anytime. And I guess you're going to have to come back at some point because Rob was a little disappointed that he is doing our live chat with the patrons tonight, and so he couldn't be here. So he wants you guys to come back when he can talk to you as well.
Yeah, we'll make it happen.
We'd love to. Just let us know when.
Excellent. Excellent. And what's a funny story was around the time, like around mid-October last year, I emailed Connor and I said, "Here's what we're doing. We're doing a podcast. Is this something you'd be interested in?" Connor writes back right away. "Yeah, yeah. Let me talk to my dad. We'll get on it." And then a week later, I don't hear anything. And a week after that, oh, by the way, everybody's gone on Amazing Race All-Stars and never heard back from him again.
I've taught him to be more responsible than that.
Well, I think you guys weren't allowed to at that point.
Yeah, we weren't. So. Yeah,
but I'm always waiting in the wings whenever people are finally legally cleared to talk on the podcast. So a couple administrative notes for the listeners. You can find this podcast in our Amazing Race Only iTunes feed, or you can check us out. There's a feed called Reality Rehap Ups where all of the non-Rob Has a Podcast podcasts go to live. And if you haven't done so already, please subscribe, leave us a review. That helps us out quite a bit, and we always love hearing from you. You can find me on Twitter at Haymaker Hattie, and it's like 95% Amazing Race and 5% pithy remarks about whatever else I'm watching on television, because I apparently don't do anything else. but once again, thank you very much, Dave and Connor. And
thank you.
We will talk next week. Rob and I are going to be talking about episode 6, and then I may have another racer to talk to. I don't know yet. We'll see. But
that's great.
Yes. Thank you guys again, and thanks to all the listeners, and good night.
Thanks. So much fun. Talk to you soon.